So then they'll come back and they'll say, well, what about Section 61 that says you have to report income from whatever source derived, from items including but not limited to, and they give you a whole laundry list of items that would make it look like everybody who even has a garage sale has to pay tax on it. Babysitting, alimony, compensation, everything. And here's where you have to start asking questions and look at what it actually says. You must report income, knowing that the Supreme Court has established the term income as meaning solely the profits and gains from a corporate activity, from a corporation organized under federal law, not under state law, as the measurement of the privilege enjoyed. Okay, so you have to report that income from whatever source derived from items including but not limited to. So we have items, we have sources. The item can be included in the source to become taxable, but first you have to find the source from which it can be determined which is taxable. So there's where you have to start doing research. Larkin Rose has done an amazing amount of research on this and is excellent. The original Internal Revenue Code was made up in 1939 of all the previously enacted tax acts of Congress. 164 of them were incorporated into this new compiled code. It was recodified in 1954 and again in 1986. It never repealed the previous one. What it did was it just changed some of the wording, condensed, changed. They say it's actually gone from originally being 11,200 words or something in 1913 to the current code, which is over 7 million words. That's 10 times longer than the Bible. Now, do you really think any federal employee is going to sit down and take their evenings and weekends to read it and cross-reference it to know what it says? It takes somebody like us to play watchdog and audit them. But when you go back to the 1954 code, Section 61 says almost identical. You must report income from whatever source derived. But there's a little footnote that was left off that says, source, Section 22A, 1939 code, substantially unchanged. Well, if it was substantially unchanged in the codification, let's see what it says. So you go back there, and there you find a little extra wording that you must report income from whatever source derived unless protected by statute or exempted by fundamental law, the Constitution. Now we need to find where this was included in the current code to make it valid. So you go to the 1991 enabling sections, which is the most current, and you find that section 22 of the 1939 Internal Revenue Code was included in the 1986 code as 26 part 519. You go to the index of the parts, go down the list to part 519, and you find that that's the Canada Tax Treaty, subchapter G. It has nothing to do with subtitle A taxes. And yet, the Canada Tax Treaty expired in 1993 and was being held in reserve for future use. What, to deceive Americans into believing that they had a liability to pay a tax on their garage sales? And you find that the sources are foreign sources. There are 13 sources of income. They're all foreign sources. Then as you get into the research, you have to get into the definitions. That's where a lot of the research in the tax honesty movement even becomes contradictory and falls short. Statutory law. You've got common law, which is the Constitution and Supreme Court rulings. They have to be written in common words that the common man can understand. Statutory law is allowed to redefine common words as legal terms to mean something totally different than the common understanding of those words. Do you remember when Bill Clinton said, that depends on what is? One of the most intelligent things and a real lesson in law. Because what he was saying was, are you using that little two-letter word as a common word or as a legal term? If you're using it as a legal term, which of the 18 different definitions are you applying from Black's Law Dictionary so that I can answer it in proper context? That was an amazingly intelligent statement. The little term of, if you look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, it says belonging to, owing your source or origin to. Belonging to, similar as a serf, belongs to a king. In possession of, manufactured by. So when IRS asks you, are you a citizen of the United States, that's a legal term from Title 26. Most Americans will say, yeah, I'm a citizen of the United States. But when you understand that of means you owe your citizenship to the federal government, now are you a citizen of the United States as it's defined in the tax code? Or are you an American citizen from whom the federal government derives its authority to act on anything?
Now, you've been citing a lot of numbers and reference points in the code, and I think that someone listening to this disc carefully and taking notes would be able to follow the trail that you've laid down and see for themselves what is actually said. I know that that's a bit of a complicated trail to follow. It's kind of a maze that has been set up in the IRS code, and one wonders, why did they do it that way? Why would they make it so complicated? But it is a maze which might be worth someone's time to actually retrace when they are in the mood. For now, you're making statements which people have to check for themselves by their own due diligence if they choose to act on these things. It is important to know with certainty what's going on, and you're giving us the map. We need to take the journey. Let's go back to this whole question of definitions. What are some of the other key words which mean something in common speech but something quite different when used in the code?
Words like citizen, resident, citizen of the United States that we talked about, non-resident alien, treasury, secretary of the treasury. There's many of them. And let me say this. Yes, you mentioned due diligence, and this is very important. Anyone listening to the disc that is taking notes, this is such an in-depth study that it's very hard to cover and get into a lot of meat of it and actual code citings, chapter and verse, just in this format. So they can go to our website at imfdecoder.com. Click on Legal References, and there they will find hyperlinked the United States Constitution, the Internal Revenue Manual, the Code of Federal Regulations, the 26 Code. They can go to State References, and they will find each of the 50 states, their constitutions, their codes, their regulations. They can do complete legal research right there on our IMF Decoder website. And then they can go to Tools, they can click on Withholding Information and actually download legal documents and affidavits to stop withholding. There's a wealth of information there where they can do their due diligence within the law and within the codes themselves. We don't ever ask anybody to take our word for it. The law is there. Do the due diligence. We're just trying to make available the benefit of many, many years, not just of my research, but of a dozen people and the federal lawyers and the paralegals and their experience for almost 40 years in some cases that have put this study into very in-depth practice. The place I would recommend most people to start is Chapter 79, Subtitle F of the 26 Code, Section 7701. That's the definitions section. And here is where you will find the legal terms. Now, as I mentioned, they're allowed to redefine common words as legal terms so long as that definition is carried somewhere within the code. Each chapter, each subchapter, is allowed to redefine the same word in a different way so long as it carries the definition for the purposes of this chapter or for the purposes of this subchapter, the term shall mean. And then you can start to understand the code. You cannot read the tax code with a knowledge of common definitions. You have to apply the legal terms. You also have to understand the word include or including. In statutory law, the word include or including is a limited word, not an expansive word. It limits the definition to specifically what is mentioned next. In other words, I could say, for tonight, the term food shall mean apples, pears, grapes, and bananas. That's all it is. Now, if I say the term food is including but not limited to apples, pears, grapes, and bananas, then you can expand on it to include mangoes, pears, peaches, things that are in keeping with the intent of the stated portion of the definition. But you cannot include steak, broccoli, that are manifestly incompatible with the stated portion. Does that make sense? So once you understand this, that is limited. Then you start looking. You'll find the definition of United States, for example. We think United States means the 50 states. If you're in the Constitution, in the common law, common words, that's what it means. But in statutory law, here it's redefined. The United States, when used in a geographic sense, includes, meaning specifically, any territory under the sovereignty of the United States. California is not a territory. Washington, Texas, Tennessee, Florida, these are independent sovereign states. They're not territories. Therefore, they are not included in the definition of United States as used in Title 26. Nowhere else, only within this statutory document. You look at the term state, and it says in Definition 10 under Section 7701, it says the term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia, where such construction is necessary to carry out provisions of this title. Do you remember the movie Enemy of the State?
Yes.
Now, was he an enemy to the entire country and every person in it, or was he just an enemy to the corporate government?
To the corporate government.
This
certainly
is what it means here. The term state, for the purposes of the tax code, means the federal government, Washington, D.C. If you go to other sections, this is where I can show you how they redefine. The Federal Insurance Contribution Act, Social Security, which is Title 26, Subtitle C, Chapter 21. Go to Section 3121, and there you'll find the term state, for the purposes of this chapter only, includes the District of Columbia, Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. Now you go to Unemployment Tax, Chapter 23, Section 3306, and it says state, for the purposes of this chapter, includes the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. Notice the absence of Guam and American Samoa, the purposeful omission. Now, did we start with the 50 states and include? Let's look. Let's go to a legal tax, an excise tax. Taxes on gasoline, cigarettes, liquor. These are indirect taxes that can be avoided, and therefore legal taxes under the Constitution and the law. In Title 26, in Subtitle D, you'll find miscellaneous excise taxes. Chapter 38, environmental taxes. Subchapter A, the tax on petroleum, specifically. There, in Section 4212, the definitions and special rules for that section, you'll find definition number 4, United States. The term United States means the 50 states, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, any possession of the United States, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, and the Trust Territory of the Pacific Islands. Here they specifically say the 50 states. Notice the purposeful inclusion or purposeful omission of that phrase, and then go back and remember the include or including limitation, and we can see that Congress is capable of saying exactly what they mean, and being perfectly clear as to whether the 50 states of the Union were intended to be included or specifically omitted to be in harmony with the Constitution. Otherwise, they would have had to repeal Article 1 of the Constitution that demands direct taxes be apportioned. Then the confusion should start clearing. Once you understand the defined boundaries within the Title 26 Code, then you'll understand that even the non-resident alien that it speaks of is not the same non-resident alien that you would commonly understand as being associated with the Immigration Service. That's a whole different statute, different definition than what is applied in Title 26 for the tax purposes. And it gets to be a very involved study. I don't want to confuse people here, because a lot of times you get to be like the Cheeto Bandito, you know, because it is such a wealth of information, and it does require almost a paradigm shift in thinking when you start doing this research and realizing how we've been defrauded for decades.